Hello, dear listener of our Construction Industry Podcast. This is Cesar Bate, the host of the show. I'm just about ready to play you our latest episode, but before I do that, I'd like to ask you for your help. You see, our show has been downloaded thousands of times in over 60 countries. But the problem is I really don't know you that well, and I would love to start creating a better sense of community among us and our listeners. So here's the thing. I'm going to ask you to go to a website and tell me a little bit about yourself. Okay, it literally should take less than a minute. But here's the best part. If you are one of the first 15 people to visit the site, answer my question and click submit, you will be entered to win a $25 Amazon gift card. Could you do that for me? I'm going to give you the web address now, but before I do, I'm going to tell you something else. I'm not giving this address out in any other way other than in audio form here on the podcast. Okay, so this address is not going to be on the show notes for the show. It's not going to be anywhere else. So the only way you can find out about this address is if you're listening to me right now. Okay, are you ready? Have a pen? Here's the address. If you're driving, don't do it. Just wait until you can pull over and write this down. The address is www.gift.constructionindustrypodcast.com. Again, www.gift.constructionindustrypodcast.com. Again, if you're one of the first 15 people to answer, you're in to win the gift card. I think those are pretty good odds, so do it right now if you can. All right, have a great day and enjoy today's show.
Welcome to the Construction Industry Podcast. Fresh ideas for today's construction professional. The Construction Industry Podcast is brought to you by Remontech, remote monitoring technologies. Find us on the web at constructionindustrypodcast.com.
Hello, everybody. Once again, my name is Cesar Abate, and this is the Construction Industry Podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you as you navigate the waters of the construction industry. Whether you're looking to start your career, looking to improve your professional knowledge, or if you're a construction project or business owner, this is the show for you. Today, I will talk to Kristen Dispenza, managing editor of the hugely popular Buildipedia website. Buildipedia covers the entire world of design and construction with an online network of high-definition videos, interviews, photo galleries, case studies, reports, and social networking. Check it out. Kristen Dispenza graduated from The Ohio State University in 1988 with a BS in engineering from the School of Architecture and a minor in English literature. Throughout the early 1990s, she worked as a freelance design writer for the Seattle Daily Journal of Commerce. Since that time, her freelance activities have expanded to include writing for trade publications and websites, as well as other forms of electronic media. Kristen joined Buildipedia in October of 2011. And Kristen is talking to me today from her office in Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Kristen. How are you?
Hi, Cesar. Nice to be talking to you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's an unusually warm winter up here in Canada. I don't know.
Oh, yes. It's very warm here in Ohio, too. A little bit strange, the weather.
So. Yeah, I think you're just right across Lake Erie from me. You could throw a rock across the lake and it would hit you.
Right, yeah. Well, it's not bad for the drive to work, but not getting to see a lot of snow.
Yeah. Now, look, Kristen, I decided to ask you a few questions about Buildipedia because I think it's a really well put together website, and I'm a subscriber to the RSS feed, meaning that I get the articles that are published there, and I think it's really well put together. And I'm always you're welcome. And I'm always intrigued by by how people in the industry reach out to the industry at large, because it's such a broad and diverse industry. As you know, you have carpenters all the way to CEOs of major, construction companies that are doing work all over the world. So how do you, the art of reaching out to these very diverse group of people is something that even here at the podcast, it's something that I'm always struggling with, how to approach certain topics and what topics to cover. And I think Buildipedia does a great job at being like a one-stop shop for a lot of these people in the industry. So I just wanted to ask you a few questions about Buildipedia, if that's okay. And I'd like to start with who started it and why did they do it, when it happened, and how did it come together?
Well, it was started in 2009 by a couple of guys who came from the construction industry, had a successful business in real estate development and construction, and they saw a need. They had a vision for an online destination that would be a real resource for especially contractors, I think was their initial target market. They wanted to see everything come together in one place, and they decided to be the ones to bring that to the market. And so they assembled a team. The first thing they did was they decided to arrange it around master format categories and set up a knowledge base. And they hired many writers at that time who were not actually writers by profession, but people from the industry who would share their expertise. And they started to round out the knowledge base, which you will still see as a part of the site today. Now, it has not been the part of the site that has received the most attention over the past year. I think once it became clear that Buildipedia needed to really grow itself as a business, they turned their attention a little bit to the front page that you see today. And that's how I got pulled in, actually. I was a freelance writer, and many other freelance writers came on board at that time and really started operating with traditional journalism principles behind it. And, you know, they do what journalists have always done. They contact a source, they write up an interview and a story. And so that part of the site then really grew more than the master format categories did. Mm-hmm. And moving forward into 2012, one of the things that you'll see is trying to bring the knowledge base up to its original, you know, vision, what it was intended to be. But the fact that it was started by people in the industry is responsible for the fact that, you know, it really strives to be a solid technical resource.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fascinating that it started as a side project and then just took a life of its own, and now it's its own business. And when did you say that it was incorporated as a separate business?
It just became a separate business at the very end of last year. So it had it had stayed, you know, as kind of a sideline of the original business for a while and had a lot of contract workers. I mean, initially in the early days when they were building up the knowledge base, you could come to the space that we're leasing here in Columbus and find many, many people coming together for, you know, lunch meetings, that sort of thing, but really a lot of people working independently to contribute. Mm-hmm. Then it all got pulled a little more tightly together after that to try to make it into something more cohesive, I guess I would say.
Okay.
But a lot of valuable stuff that was started then, you know, is still what brings value to the site today.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you tell me how many readers or subscribers Buildipedia has?
Yeah, I would say we have 10, maybe 20,000 visitors per week.
Okay. Wow. That's impressive. how, besides creating the content, of course, I'm sure you've been found by Google searches, and you have videos that are probably on YouTube as well. So besides creating the content that you have, what else do you do to attract readers and subscribers?
We do have a marketing associate. We have tried to develop the social media, use a little bit more of the social media. They did recognize early on that social media was going to become important. You know, there was as the knowledge base started to grow and they started to realize the need to let people know it was out there. Mm-hmm. They used the tools that I think many people are using now, relying a little bit maybe on Facebook and Twitter. Also, there's always been a vision that we would create a big community, get a lot of discussion going, and to make that happen, they needed to find people, employees who could get the best comment system software, for example. Mm-hmm. And once they implemented those, then there was a leap forward, you know, a real improvement in readership and in discussions.
Yeah, people sometimes don't think about that, but there is one thing is having an active readership, but another thing altogether is having engagement, right? And I think when you have...
Right, yeah.
So, yeah, people just reading it passively, you don't even know who they are, and, you know, they're not contributing, but once you start getting comments and input that way, it becomes a two-way street and everybody benefits.
Yeah, and you find out so much more about your audience. For example, another thing that will be growing in 2012 is content for students, because we get a lot of comments from students and a lot of feedback from students. And I think initially maybe that group wasn't considered as the Buildopedia's audience, but the fact is they are big internet users. So,
interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we talked about this in previous episodes, but there's a generation gap in the construction industry now, where in the last few decades, it didn't see a whole lot of young people joining. I mean, of course they did, but it wasn't as in decades prior. And now there's a bit of a gap now because you have all these young people coming in because before the recession, there was this boom, right? So it became attractive again. And it's all these new people coming in that are versed in the internet and social media. And then, you know, you jump ahead like 20, 30 years to the next, the previous generation who sometimes don't even own a computer, right?
And I see...
One of the reasons why we have the podcast is to fill in that void, right? Because there's all this new blood coming in that are used to these kind of new media, and if you're there to provide it, like Buildopedia, which is like a platform and a portal for them, I think it's a great opportunity right now.
Right. Yeah. There is a generation gap there. Certainly, a distinction between the way they use the media. We had some conversations with folks from the construction industry last year that showed us, you know, maybe we needed to redirect our content a little bit to a format that they were more familiar with. One of the things you may have seen if you're subscribing via the RSS feed is some contractor to contractor. Have you noticed that headline on some of the articles that are more technically oriented towards the construction industry professional? I think of that as kind of a sub-brand of Buildopedia because, back to one of your earlier points, because of the broad nature of the audience, one of my challenges as managing editor is to try to fill out little pockets of knowledge. Since I can't make it all happen by next month or the month after that, I have to fill out little areas of the site and grow from there. So one of the things that we brought on recently was contractor to contractor, and it's really trying to mimic that job site experience, because what contractors were saying is, you know, we don't necessarily sit at our desks and drink our coffee and read articles online, but when we need to learn something, we need it, and we need to learn it from the guy who's standing next to us. We ask our buddy. And so we've kind of tried to replicate that because, of course, everybody needs to use the web as a resource sometimes, and we hope that they find contractor to contractor and recognize that job site kind of feel.
Yeah, that's brilliant, and it makes sense. Like we do the podcast, but we are service provider. Our company is a service provider for the construction industry. So I'm at construction sites all the time, you know, at the site trailer. And the site trailer is like its own little community, right? You have all the contractors there and they're, you know, talking about different things about the project, but they're also talking about other things. And they're usually their smartphones and laptops are put away, you know.
Right.
and it, But the thing is, it's great, but it limits the conversation to that location, to that trailer. But if you have that on the web, then you can provide a way for contractors from all over the world to connect and exchange ideas and experiences and things like that. So I think it's a fantastic idea.
And it's a great way to leverage the power of multimedia. I come from a print background. I've, you know, for years and years I was a freelancer working for print magazines because, frankly, it was before, you know, the internet was really rounded out. Mm-hmm. But now one of the things I enjoy about being an editor for an online publication, if you will, is that there's limitless space to fill out. You know, I don't have to worry about sticking to a word limit and reducing the amount of information so that it fits into a certain layout. You know, if I have a contractor come in, as I did for Contractor to Can't Contract, and we talk about the level of detail we need to bring to the audience, we can do that. We can talk about exactly how those, you know, screws are supposed to fit into the studs, you know, and it's great to be able to do that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And not only that, you get a level of feedback that you never had before. Like, you can see who, how many people are reading that article and where they're coming from, right, in the world, where the clicks are coming from. And you can, you know, it's a lot easier to iterate and direct your content towards what's popular, right?
Yeah, it definitely is, yeah. And it keeps it, you know, perennially changing. I mean, it's something that the Lapida has had a couple of different looks already in its short life, and I think we'll probably have another new look coming again soon because, you know, we're constantly responding and retooling a bit and trying to find what works for us and what works for the audience, and it's constantly changing and growing.
Great. Now, I'd like to switch gears a little bit about the creators. Do they still have their construction business, the brick and mortar construction business, or do they dedicate themselves to Buildipedia 100% of the time now?
No, they don't actually dedicate themselves to Buildipedia 100%. They still are very active, mostly active in their original company. One thing they did early on was to partner with a multimedia studio, Pinopix American, who had already built up a business that could provide website design, technology development. They were familiar with online marketing. They've done all the videos. So they brought a lot to the project, and they just naturally fit then as a partner. And they've had as much to do with the day-to-day operations, really, as the founding partners. They all work together as a team, but it brought in a very established path, you know, because to try to bring all of this knowledge and put it on the web, they need highly technically savvy partners.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm assuming they were mostly involved with the partners were mostly involved in collecting the team of freelance writers such as yourself and putting the portal together and that side of the business, I guess.
Yeah, that's correct. Okay. The entire website framework, yeah.
Now, a couple of episodes ago, we had a roundtable discussion on the power of blogging for construction professionals and businesses. And I think we talked about this before the show. And in there, we talked about how this can help professionals and businesses to become experts in their fields, to have their name out there. How Buildipedia has helped the founders in their own businesses?
Well, I think one of the interesting things, and I did notice that when I was listening to the podcast, because they talked quite a bit about using blogging to drive traffic to their main company and that sort of thing. And I think an interesting distinction or an interesting difference that Buildipedia was really started as such a separate pursuit. It didn't tie in much with the company that the founders were running at the time or are still running. It was kind of a separate vision and a separate dream, if you will, to have this completely independent project, which then became an independent business. So it's much more separate than what you would think of a blog being intended to do. This is really a separate business, and you can probably see that a little bit in just the fact that, you know, hiring journalists, for example, that sort of thing is a different sort of strategy.
Yeah, it is. And I think this attitude speaks to the success of Buildipedia, because it's like a pure it's a pure approach, right? We're doing this because we love this idea, and if it helps us, great. If it doesn't, we're still gonna do it because it's something we believe in. And it speaks to authenticity, and I think that's like one of the most popular websites and blogs today. They're popular because the people who are behind them, they're authentic, right? They're trying to help people, and the reader can see right through it. If you have a blog just to promote your own business, it's just a big ad. Like, I do this podcast because, you know, I enjoy talking to people like you, and throughout the years we built such a network of professionals in the industry that I thought that'd be great to share these contacts that we have with the public, right, with the people in the industry at large, and pick their brains and talk about different topics such as this, and I think that's the attitude. So I think that's why Buildipedia has become what it is, because of the initial attitude and motives of the founders.
It was an idealistic pursuit, more or less, and I think that goes right down to many members of the team, you know, even from the top on down, and so it is a pure pursuit, as you say. Now, that said, we've also had to learn a lot from the blogging world. I think, you know, creating a blog maybe wasn't the initial goal. Like I said, it was set up around master format. There was a certain fairness to the original intent, and I think early on the business overall had to recognize the importance of Google and search engine optimization and having indexable pages. I know that's one thing that got brought up in the podcast on blogging, you know, having many indexable pages. So there are certain structural parts of the site that were informed by what bloggers had already learned about navigating the internet and being seen on the internet.
Uh-huh. Now, after being online for a while now, and I'm sure you're doing, you know, your standard analytics to see which posts are more popular and which angles are more people engage more. So, do you have a more well-defined niche audience, and how do you decide what the right audience is for Buildipedia?
Well, whenever I look at Google Analytics, I do notice there are certain pods of activity. For construction, for example, we've had a lot of views for our light gauge metal stud framing. There was one early article added to the knowledge base that has just seen thousands and thousands of visitors since it was put on the site. And so I look at that, and that directly tied into the fact that I chose metal stud framing for my first topic that we addressed on Contractor to Contractor, because people are Googling this hundreds of times a day.
Yeah.
And so so I thought, well, you know, more is better. And so we've been rounding out that knowledge. Instead of just the one in-depth article, we're putting out a series of in-depth articles so that people can hopefully start to find exact answers to that question. Mm. Now, we also have a lot of architects and engineers who read the site. Certain star architects get searched a lot, and so I think there's always a broad readership for pretty buildings.
Yeah.
So we put a lot of those on the site.
Yeah, I think people who have their own projects, they're curious to see what other projects look like, and so these kind of showcase articles are usually popular. I found.
Yeah, they definitely are.
So would you say that this article on the metal stud, is this your most popular entry?
It is the most popular entry so far, yeah.
Interesting. Now, as we move forward here in the world of the web, and now the social media is a huge part as well, where do you see a place for construction blogs such as Buildipedia as we services like Twitter, which is the microblogging, and become more popular, and people are sharing things on a more personal level instead of just going to a static website? I know that you talked about creating community there. So is this an attempt, your attempt to embrace that social aspect of the web, or what are your thoughts on that?
That is definitely one of the target areas that we're trying to put a little more energy to. There's some video production in the works, which is fundamentally different, I guess, but it also invites a lot of feedback and a social component. If we can get some of the things organized that we've been brainstorming, that will be a lot more interactive. Because since multimedia is still in its infancy, you kind of have to think things through from the bottom up, thinking, well, what could we do with this level of interactivity? And what software will support it? What technology can we assemble? That sort of thing. Social media, that's a heavy part of what our marketing employee does. He sends, he tweets, tries to let people know what's out there, and it really does make a huge difference, especially in some of those topic areas where just about everyone would like to go online and look and see the fantastic new building that's maybe being built overseas.
Okay. Well, and if our listeners want to learn more about Buildipedia, where should they go?
Buildipedia.com. It's got an I. A lot of people Google Buildipedia with an A, but it's actually an I. So.
You should buy that other domain and point it to
you. Yeah, maybe.
Okay, well, Kristen, this has been a delight. Thank you so much for answering my questions, and I hope I'm sure that our listeners will learn a lot by going to Buildipedia, and there's a huge knowledge base there. A lot of other people in the industry they can connect to. It's like almost like a mini LinkedIn for construction guys, and I think it's a great resource. And I'd like to thank you once again for answering my questions.
Thank you very much.
So that's it for today. Thank you once again for listening to the Construction Industry Podcast. The Construction Industry Podcast is produced by Remontech. Remontech provides remote monitoring for construction projects. You can visit the podcast website at constructionindustrypodcast.com and subscribe to the show there. It's free. We are also listed on a number of podcast directories such as iTunes and BlackBerry Podcasts, meaning you can subscribe there and listen to the show on the go on your smartphone. My name is Cesar Abate. Until next time.